Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for joining us with another episode of Norfolk Public Schools Unplugged. I am your host, Adrian, and co-hosting with me is Candace. Today, we will take a look at Norfolk Public Schools 2022-2027 Strategic Plan.
Hello, Jonathan, and thanks for providing me the opportunity to join you today. You know, I was reading through this plan, and it's pretty fascinating. Strategic plans are always interesting, especially in education. They really give you a glimpse into the future the division is trying to build.
Yeah, and they've got some big goals in Norfolk Public Schools to start with. We're talking about a pretty large district.
How big are we talking?
Over 27,000 students and over 5,000 staff.
Wow, that's a lot of people to be responsible for. I mean, that's like a small city.
Yeah, it is. And it's a very diverse city, too.
And that diversity is reflected in their student body. It's about 58% Black students, 21% white students, and 12% Hispanic students.
And there is also a mix of other ethnicities, which is awesome. I mean, it's a really great snapshot of what America looks like, but it also presents some unique challenges for a school division in terms of making sure that everyone is getting what they need.
That's right, because when you have such a diverse group of students, you have to be very intentional about creating a system that supports each individual on their own unique path.
Yeah, you can't just have a one-size-fits-all approach. And, you know, speaking of challenges, the plan really doesn't shy away from talking about the achievement gap.
It is apparent that Superintendent Sharon I. Birdsong is taking some bold steps to ensure division-wide accountability with the implementation of the Norfolk Public Schools Strategic Plan. The plan acknowledges that before the pandemic, there were significant disparities in academic performance. For example, the plan cites a 27-point gap in reading proficiency and a 22-point gap in math proficiency between Black and white students.
And I think it's really important that they're not just sweeping that under the rug. They're putting it right out there.
And they're making it clear that closing those gaps is a top priority.
And to do that, they've laid out these five key goals for the district.
Okay, so like a roadmap to achieving their vision.
Precisely. And the first one is developing our workforce.
So focusing on the teachers and staff, right?
Yeah. Because they recognize that teachers and staff are really the heart of the education system.
Exactly. You can have the best facilities and the most cutting-edge technology, but if you don't have great teachers in the classroom and a staff to support them, none of it really matters.
Yes, indeed. And so they're talking about things like competitive compensation to attract and retain high-quality teachers.
That makes sense. Because teaching is such a demanding profession, and they deserve to be compensated accordingly.
Yeah. It's not just a job, it's a calling. And, you know, in addition to pay, they're also focusing on providing really strong professional development opportunities for teachers and staff.
So it's not just about attracting teachers and a powerful workforce, but also about investing in them and helping them grow throughout their careers.
Exactly. That's great. Which brings us to goal two, which is equitable resource allocation.
Okay, so what does that mean specifically?
Well, it means making sure that all students have access to the resources they need to succeed, regardless of which school they go to or what their background is.
I mean, that sounds like a no-brainer, but unfortunately, it's not always the case.
You know, historically, some schools have had more resources than others.
Exactly. And this goal is about addressing that imbalance and making sure that every student has a fair shot.
And to make sure it's actually happening. They're talking about using data to track how resources are being distributed.
So it's not just about good intentions, it's about actually using data to make sure that things are equitable in practice.
Exactly. And they're also committing to regular program evaluations and audits to make sure everything is running smoothly.
Which means they're serious about accountability. They're not just saying they're going to do this, they're putting systems in place to make sure it actually happens.
Right. It seems like they really want to get this right.
Yeah, it's impressive.
And now shifting gears a bit, goal three focuses on building community partnerships.
Okay, so getting the community involved in education.
Yeah, because they recognize that schools can't do it alone.
You know, it really does take a village.
Yeah, they need the support of parents, families, community organizations, businesses, and everyone.
Right, because everyone has a stake in the success of our schools.
And so they're talking about things like increasing stakeholder involvement in decision-making, expanding volunteer opportunity, and really just fostering those connections between schools and the community.
So it's about building bridges and creating a network of support around students.
Exactly like that. And then goal four is all about creating safe and inclusive environments.
Okay, so making sure that all students feel safe, welcome, and respected at school.
Exactly. And this isn't just about physical safety, although that is a big part of it, but it's also about creating a positive school climate where students feel emotionally safe.
Okay, so where they feel comfortable being themselves, expressing their ideas, and asking for help when they need it, that's really important.
And they're also talking about addressing things like social, emotional, learning, and adopting more inclusive disciplinary practices.
So it's about moving away from punitive measures and focusing on restorative practices that help students learn from their mistakes and grow.
And it makes sense that reducing chronic absenteeism is also part of this goal. Because if students feel safe and supported at school, they're more likely to show up. And they're talking about things like implementing multi-level support systems so that students can get the help they need at every stage of their learning journey.
Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't want that? But what does it actually look like in practice? So whether a student is struggling or excelling, there are resources and support available to help them reach their full potential.
And they're also emphasizing the importance of culturally relevant learning experiences.
Okay, so making sure that the curriculum is engaging and relevant to the diverse student population.
Exactly. So it's not just about teaching facts and figures, but about connecting with students on a personal level and helping them see themselves in the material.
Yeah, I think that's crucial for making learning meaningful and lasting.
I agree. And then they have some very specific targets that they're aiming for, like boosting third grade reading proficiency and preparing students for college and careers.
Those are ambitious goals, but they're also really important. Because third grade reading proficiency is such a critical benchmark for future success, and preparing students for college and careers is essential for their long-term well-being.
Absolutely. And finally, the plan prepares students for the future.
Okay. So looking ahead to the skills and knowledge students will need in a rapidly changing world, because the world is changing so fast these days, and the jobs of tomorrow might not even exist yet.
True. And so they're focusing on things like critical thinking skills, technological skills, fluency, and fostering a lifelong love of learning.
So it's not just about memorizing facts and figures anymore. It's about being able to adapt and learn new things throughout your life.
Exactly. And I think that's a really important shift because the world is only going to get more complex and more unpredictable.
Yeah. And the students of today need to be prepared to navigate that complexity. It's exciting to see a school district that's really thinking ahead and trying to prepare their students for the challenges and opportunities of the future.
They're not just focused on getting kids through school. They're focused on setting them up for success in life, and that's what education should be all about. And so those are the five goals laid out in Norfolk Public Schools' strategic plan.
Okay, so now that we've got the big picture, let's dive a little deeper into each of these goals and see how they're planning to make them a reality.
Sounds good to me. Let's do it.
It really is about, you know, preparing students to be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this plan does a really good job of outlining a vision for how to do that.
I agree. It's very comprehensive.
It's very thorough. And it's really inspiring to see a school district that's so dedicated to creating a better future for all of its students.
Yeah. And it's not just about academics either. They're also focusing on things like social, emotional learning, and career. Creating a positive school climate.
Right. Because they recognize that students need to feel safe and supported in order to learn and grow. You can't just focus on academics in a vacuum.
Yeah.
You have to address the whole child.
Right.
And that's something that really comes through in this plan.
It does. And I think that's one of the things that makes it so impressive.
I agree. And, you know, one of the things that strikes me about this plan is that it really emphasizes the importance of community involvement.
Yeah, that's a big theme throughout the plan. They're not just saying, oh, we're going to do this in the schools. They're saying we need the whole community to be involved in this effort.
Yeah, they're really pushing for a collaborative approach.
And I think that's really smart because schools can't do it alone.
No, they can't.
They need the support of parents and families, community organizations, businesses.
Right. It really does take a village.
It does. And I think Norfolk Public Schools is doing a great job of recognizing that and trying to build those bridges.
Yeah. It seems like they're really committed to creating a strong partnership between the schools and the community.
They are. And that's so important because when you have that kind of partnership, everyone benefits. The students benefit, the schools benefit, and the community as a whole benefit.
So it's a win-win situation. And you know, one thing I'm curious about is how they plan to measure their progress on these goals.
Yeah, that's a good question. Because It's one thing to set goals, but it's another thing to actually achieve them.
And to know if you're achieving them, you have to be able to track your progress. So I'm sure there are some metrics built into 3Plan.
I agree.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Because they seem to be very data-driven in their approach.
They do. And that's a good thing because it means they're serious about accountability. They want to be able to show that they're making a real difference. And I think that's important for building trust with the community. Because if you're transparent about your goals and your progress, people are more likely to support you.
Yeah. They're more likely to get on board and say, hey, let's work together to make this happen.
Exactly.
And so overall, I think this is a really impressive strategic plan.
I agree wholeheartedly.
I mean, it's ambitious. It's comprehensive. And it really seems to be grounded in a deep understanding of the needs of the students and the community.
It does. And I think that's what makes it so promising. Because when you have a plan that's rooted in reality, and that's driven by a genuine desire to make a difference, I think you have a much better chance of success.
Yeah. I think they're really onto something down there in Norfolk.
They really are.
And I'm excited to see what they accomplish in the years to come.
Me too. And it's a good reminder that strategic planning isn't just a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. It's like a living document. And this plan actually emphasizes that. They talk about the importance of ongoing evaluation and feedback.
So they're not just going to set it and forget it. And I think it's great that Norfolk Public Schools is acknowledging that and building that flexibility into their plan.
They are committed to constantly assessing their progress and making adjustments as needed. So it's like a continuous improvement kind of thing. They recognize that the world is constantly changing and that education needs to keep pace with those changes.
It's very forward thinking. Well, this has been a fascinating episode of Norfolk Public Schools Unplugged. Remember, it's not about being rigid. It's about being flexible and adaptable.
Right. And I think that's really important because the challenges facing education today are not the same challenges that we face 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. Things are changing so rapidly.
I've learned so much about Norfolk Public Schools and their vision for the future of education.
Me too.
And I'm really impressed by their commitment to equity and excellence for all students.
Yeah. That really comes through in everything they do.
It does. And it's inspiring to see. And I think it's a great example for other school districts around the country.
I agree. I think there's a lot that other districts can learn from Norfolk Public Schools. Absolutely. So to wrap things up, you know, one of the big takeaways for me from this deep dive is the importance of having a clear vision and a well-defined plan for achieving that vision.
You can't just wing it. And I think Norfolk Public Schools has done a really great job of articulating their vision and developing a roadmap for getting there. And they've also done a great job of getting the community involved in that process, which I think is crucial for success.
It is, because, you know, education is not just the responsibility of schools, it's the responsibility of the entire community. We all have a role to play.
And if you're interested in learning more about their strategic plan, be sure to check out their website. Well, that's about all the time we have for today. But before we go, I just want to say a big thank you to our listeners for joining us on Norfolk Public Schools Unplugged.